different. So I may say something that please, if you don't understand, just feel free to lift up your hand. I'll be able to explain what I mean. Our eyes and your eyes are different. When we talk about rivers, we say river. So, the Lord bless you. Coming all the way from Kenya, it's always a pleasure to be with these people and to share together and to exchange ideas and thoughts together to see and hear what the Lord is doing. God is the same everywhere. God has no partiality. He loves Kenya as much as He loves you. He loves you as much as He loves us in Kenya. And it is through His love that we come here. I stand here before you, humbled in the grace of God. Now, I want to put my sharing in two phases. One, we're going to share from the Word of God in a couple of minutes. And the second phase will be just, we can talk a little bit about our country. I'll be able to tell you about what the Lord is doing in our country, some of the challenges that we are going through, and some of the joys that the Lord allows us to see and to enjoy in His presence. And if there will be any question, I'll be so glad to answer. Amen. For a number of years, I think about 15 years now, and the Lord has been leading me so much, been trying to run away from a certain message, but the Lord has been building it on my life and my heart. And in the last few months, in the last, matter of fact, about a year or two, I have felt so strongly to write a booklet about it. And it's about the paths that we see looking at the life of Abraham. In the book of Genesis, God calls Abraham. From the heart of God, there was this great call to Abraham. And He told him to leave. That is chapter 12 from verse 1 to 4. He told him to leave his country, to leave his family, to leave his people, and to follow the Lord. And the Lord was going to show him where he was going to go. And it's always a joy to see a beautiful response by Abraham. Bible says he rose and he followed the Lord. From the heart of God, there are three thoughts that are very, very important when you talk about the call of God upon our lives. And one of the call that we see in the life of Abraham is faith. That we are told that Abraham believed God. And to have walked with the Lord for more than 25 years, waiting for the promise, and through the processes that the Lord had to take him, we are told that he believed God to a point whereby God gave him a credit of righteousness. It's one thing to say, I have faith in God, and I'm walking together with God. But it's another thing altogether to be in that path, like the path that Abraham had to take. The kind of faith that we hear today in the television and other places, I think, is a bit confusing. But the faith that Abraham had was that he believed God for his word, what God had said. I'll bless you. I'll increase you. Through you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now God, by the time he was calling Abraham, because God sees the end from the beginning, he saw the call of Abraham, or he called Abraham in a place where he was seeing the end. And the end of it all is that through you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And this, we see the blessing come to us through Jesus Christ. But the point I'm trying to emphasize here in this particular area is that Abraham believed God. And in that faith, you can be able to see some steps that he had to go through. One, God in one particular evening, I think it must have been an evening, he takes him outside and tells him, Abraham, I want you to count the stars. And he tried. And he failed. Seriously. Then he told God, I can't. And God, through the eye of Jesus Christ coming to increase and to bless the world, God told him, so shall your seed be. I think one day, one afternoon, or either morning, I don't know, then he tells him to go on the seashore. Then he tells him, count the sand. I want you to take every piece there. And then Abraham told him, I cannot. And then he told him, so shall your seed be. And Abraham, we are told here, that he believed God. Sometimes the thing that God calls us into are much, much bigger than we can comprehend. But the only thing that God requires of us is to believe Him. He cannot call us into something that He cannot be able to accomplish. Sometimes when we are responding to the call of God upon our lives, there is fear because we are human beings. There is a lot of darkness, as Jake puts it. There is a lot of darkness. We just wonder now, where do I begin? And what will be the end of all this? But God sees the end from the beginning. All what God is calling upon us is to believe Him. And the second sense that we see in the life of Abraham, because of the faith, because of trusting and putting his confidence in God, I like what the Bible talks about faith. The best, you know, the Bible defines itself. Scripture defines. Bible is the greatest dictionary of itself. We're told in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, verse 2, the elders obtained a good testimony. And then in verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things that do appear. Faith requires that we look unto God, because He is the author and He is a finisher of our faith. What is a faith demand? According to the scripture, according to God, He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to believe Him. He just wants us to trust in His word. And once we believe in His word, then obedience will come in, so that we can be able to obey and follow Him in the path that He leads us. Some of the paths that the Lord will lead us may not be very pleasing in our lives. Some of the paths are full of darkness. Some of the paths are very difficult for human minds to be able to comprehend. Some of the paths that will lead us into our fears. Come to discover, like Job said, the thing I feared most had come to me. What he said, what he hated, what he dreaded, the Lord allowed it to come into his life. The Lord allowed him to go through that particular birth so that he could deal with the issues of his heart. He leads us into our fears in order to deliver us from fear.
That's good.
We see in the book of Psalms chapter 23, where David speaks and says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie beside still waters. He leads me," and many other things. But in verse 4, he says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." When is this time? When the Lord has tried us. When the Lord has taken out the things that trouble us. Cast your burden to the Lord, for He cares for you. Where the Lord has taken us through a certain path, through a certain situation, and has dealt with us, and has tried our hearts, so that our hearts will be able to fit in His purpose. Abraham believed God. Now, because of that, we are told also, because of his faith, then God gave him a credit to his faith. It is called righteousness. Now, this righteousness was by grace. He did not deserve anything. It was not something that he worked for, but it was something the Lord gave to him as a credit. God looked at him and said, "Abraham, you are a righteous man. You have followed my path. You have allowed your heart, in your heart, for me to come in and to do a work in your life." Friends, the point of entry in our walk with the Lord definitely is salvation. It all begins there. Our journey in fellowship together with the Lord begins with salvation. Now, there's no shortcut into it. We must listen to the call of God upon our lives. And as we heed into the call of God into our lives, then He begins to do things in our hearts. Where there is darkness in our hearts, then by His grace, He deals with it. He says, "And you," according to Ephesians chapter 2, "and in you He made alive who were dead in your trespasses and in your sins, who walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." In other words, under the influence, under satanic dominance in our hearts. If the Lord is not in our hearts, then there is another kingdom. And that kingdom has to be broken. For this purpose, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was manifested. And the manifestation, number one, was to destroy all the works of the enemy. When a strong man is in the house, all his goods are safe. Until a stronger than him comes in, then he has to deal with the issue of that strength. He has to break it, he has to conquer, and then he has to rule. So, Satan, when sin came into our lives, whenever sin came into our lives, when man sinned against God, then Satan had an access in the hearts, in a human domain, and man could not be able to do anything until Jesus Christ came to break the works of the enemy. Now, when the works of the enemy are broken, then the second thing is that He brings life to us. And you has He quickened. The quickening of the Lord begins by Him putting His life in us. And from the time and from the moment of salvation, and this is actually instantaneously, the life of God is put in us. Now, it doesn't matter how wrong it is, but the life is there. Somebody one time was being a bit humorous, and he said, "Well, even if I got saved, and I'll be the last in the door in heaven is closed, that will be the last to enter. It doesn't matter, I'll be in anyway. So once we come into the saving knowledge of the Lord, we are a part of His sheep. Now from there onwards, then God has to begin a work. A work in us. Has to continue to establish us, to build us, and to bring us into His purpose. And this is where a lot of work has to be done. This is where the Lord has to deal with the inner man, to bring us into this place that Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. That is Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. The life that I live is not mine. I live the life of the Son of God. Friends, for us to come into that place, then we have got to accept the Lord to do a work in us. Now, whatever He begins to do in us, He will accomplish it. It may take a while, but as long as we cooperate with Him and allow Him to do it in our hearts, He will do it. And that is His desire, and that is His purpose. So, because of Abraham's faith, God gave him a credit. Now, I'm reminded of the book of Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. It says, the grace of God has appeared, verse 11. And the grace of God teaches us to live in righteousness. The grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness. The grace of God, having come to us, we did not deserve, it's just given to us. But in receiving that grace, comes to us in our hearts as a teacher. And the Lord kind of awakens our consciousness through His Word to begin to accept His ways, to follow His ways, and to help us to be able to lift up a standard in our hearts, the standard that brings glory and honor to His name. Praise the Lord. The last thing, and this is where I want to mention a few things, is what God told him, Abraham, through you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Through that revelation, that all the families of the earth shall be blessed, He spoke beyond the prophets. He spoke about the coming of Messiah. Actually, that was a messianic prophecy. And in the Word of God, in the Old Testament, anybody who walked with the Lord and the Lord was able, God opened his heart or his mind, they were able to see the end of that prophecy. Isaiah begins to speak about Jesus. And one of the questions that Isaiah asks, who has believed our report? Who will believe, who will receive this saying? That unto us a child is given. Unto us a son is given. And he looks at it and he says, in the spirit, in the eye of the spirit, he says, the government of God will be upon his shoulder. He brings to us, he brings to mankind the order. He brings into mankind that God has created, and then quarrel came in through sin. And then, you know, God says now, I'm bringing in an authority in mankind again. I'm bringing in restoration. And then talks about his stripes. And then talks about things that Messiah would do. And many other things. And so many of the prophets prophesied. Moses said, I am going. But the Lord will surely visit you. The Lord will surely visit you. That was also very prophetic, and many other prophets. And just to sum up quickly, then we come to the New Testament. And there is no better summary than the book of John. The Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word was together with God in the beginning. All things were created through the Word. Without Him, nothing made that was made. In Him was life. And that life was the light of men. Jesus comes to the land of Zebulun in chapter 4 of Matthew. And we are told that people who lived in great darkness, because of the light of life in Christ Jesus, great light sprang out of them. And we beheld His glory. We saw all what God could do. We saw all what God was through Jesus, through the manifestation of this Word that became flesh. Through the manifestation of this Word that is called Emmanuel, God with us. And then, of course, at the end of it all, Jesus goes up to the cross. Having gone to the cross and fulfilling the requirement of God, then the New Testament, the letter of Ephesians, opens to us. If you can turn there, From verse 1 says, Paul an apostle, Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians. Whatever you say in the book of Ephesians. From verse 1 it says, Paul an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Through you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, Paul, through the eye of the Spirit, through the revelation of God, speaks to us and says, God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In other words, God looking at mankind, He sees mankind through the eye, through the light of His Son, Jesus Christ. And because of that then, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because Romans chapter 8 verse 1 and 2. Verse 2 says, For the law of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's the whole convention right in those scriptures. But the point I'm trying to bring to us here this evening, and I feel the Lord is speaking to us, is that we see a fulfillment of the blessing. We see a fulfillment of what God spoke to Abraham. Abraham, one, faith. Second thing, righteousness. And the third area, the door of blessing. The door of blessing. That from Him, we can look at the lineage spiritually and see Messiah coming to us. And we can see Messiah bringing us together, calling up a church. Said, I will call people unto myself, and the gate of Hades, gate of hell, shall not prevail against it. May I bring a word of encouragement here and say, what God begins to do, no man can destroy. No Satan. No, there is only one Satan. No demon can destroy. God is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Then after speaking, I think that is the hub. That particular verse is the hub of the entire chapter. Matter of fact, of the entire book. That we are blessed through Christ in heavenly places. According as He has chosen us, in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated, having predetermined unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Now, in verse 13, He says, in whom ye also trusted, you, Ephesians, Kenyans, Americans, Jamaicans, in whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after ye believed and ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The point there of emphasis that is very, very important. The seal. I told us here, the beginning point of our salvation, no matter how raw it is, the Lord has put in a seed of life in us.
That's right.
Whenever I got saved, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. That was 1973, 27th of April. Now, I don't know my physical birthday. I have a problem. My mother died last year, and she thought I was born in 1953. My father argued that I was born in 1955. So, when I want to feel young, I was born in 1955. When I want to brag about my age, I was born in 1953. And sometimes I say, okay, let me walk in the middle. I was born in 1954. Oh, thereabout. At that particular time, okay, there are people, records were a bit of a problem. Particularly in my family and in my village, we had a problem of having records. Anyway, in 1973, 27th of April was my spiritual birthday. I gave the Lord. Not really. The Lord really got me. The Lord saved me. And in my salvation, after my salvation, I remember meeting somebody, and he was emphasizing some things, and he said, unless you are baptized in water, you cannot go to heaven. And because I believed the word of God as it was, as it came to me, and in my understanding, I was just beginning to grow. I remember the prayer that I prayed, Lord, don't come. Don't come before I am baptized. And I'm telling you, one night I prayed almost until 3 o'clock in the morning that the Lord will not come. The Lord will, please don't come because I am not baptized. You know, that is as far as I could see in that particular point. You see, when the Lord begins to work in us, then He wants us to walk with Him, rooted and established in Him. So that issues and situations which were maybe of a problem to us in a given time, yesterday, today we are a step further in our Christianity. Now, he says here, he sealed us. He put in a seal. Now, I like this word seal here. You talk about a seal. A seal is different from the word, from rubber stamp. Rubber stamp, you just take something and then you stamp it. Stamp it. Stamp it. When I came into your country, this officer, immigration officer, just looked at me, put your two fingers here, and I did that, and after that he looked at me again, and then he took a rubber stamp that admitted in the US of A. But you see, a seal is something different. A seal has two sides into it. You have to put a paper somewhere. You know, you can only understand the concept of a seal maybe with a diploma. You see, something that has been put together, pressed together to a point whereby to destroy that seal, you destroy the entire integrity of that documentation. Now, we are told here, after our salvation, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. God started to work, to do a work in our lives, to teach us, to lead us, to guide us, to bring in assurance in our hearts. Bible says we even don't know how to pray as we ought to. But the Spirit helps our infirmity. The Spirit cries out, Abba Father, and brings out that assurance. Let me tell you, friends, that is where relationship comes into place. The birth has taken place, but from birth, there has to be a relationship where the Holy Spirit, where God, through His Holy Spirit, begins to unfold things of God to us. Where He begins to open the mind of God to bring us into where Paul is saying, who has known the Lord to instruct him? But now we have the mind of Christ to bring us in a place of obedience, to bring us in a place where we can be able to obey Him, to follow Him in obedience, to allow Him to do a work in us. First of all, to kill us. To put a sword of spirit in our hearts and pierce us, so that number one, we become nothing. And then He begins to build a character in our lives. And that's the desire of God. That's the desire of God for us. For the body of Christ. For us as believers. What have I said in those few minutes? Faith to look unto God. Righteousness that comes from God, and the blessing that comes to us through Jesus Christ, the beginning point. Then from there, we are required of the Lord to look unto Him as the author and the finisher of our faith. And then we say, where He leads, I will follow. In the ministry that I got saved through, Dave and Jake know about it. Good ministry. In 1973, I stayed there. I was there for 31 years. 31 years. And in 31 years, 25 years, I was a minister in that ministry. And then the Lord put this thing in me. He kind of put in a get thee out. not because the minister was bad, but just to take a certain area, a certain direction that the Lord wanted to fulfill through me. That was difficult. It was very hard to leave the known and go into unknown in the life of spirit. And you can only appreciate as I look back and I see in these 7 years the doing of God that the Lord has done in my life, in my family, meeting my needs according to His riches in glory. Not just physical. That scripture is used so much by the prosperity ministers. And it is not just about money. It is not just about the green stuff and the brown stuff. We don't have green, we have brown. It's not about brown stuff. It's about Him meeting our needs. The Lord knows the way we take. And my need, my spiritual need for tomorrow and day after, He provides for me even before I get there. So that by the time you get there, you realize, indeed, mine was simply to obey and to follow His path. And He has met that particular need. May the Lord bless you. And God bless you indeed. Let's just pray. Lord, we pray as a group, as individuals, as families, that You will help us to learn to depend on You, to look unto You by faith. And Lord God, in our weaknesses, that God, You may put in some credits in our lives, so that God, You may bring us in a place of blessedness. You may bring us in a place of blessing. A place where we can appreciate and declare, this is the Lord's doing and is marvelous in our eyes. A place where, Father, we begin a spiritual walk together with You. Walk with You as You keep on molding us to fit in Your plan and in Your purpose. And that God, even in this, Father God, You bring us, raise us up, O Father God, to a point whereby we can begin to appreciate the doing of God in our lives individually as we rise up, O Father God, in the area that God, You like us to, You want us to serve You, even in the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.